Everybody awake? Everybody ready to go? First service was a little sleepy, I'm just going to be honest with you, all right? So you kind of get what you give, okay? So a little bit of energy from the crowd would be appreciated. Sometimes in the preaching world we have what's called a holiday hangover, okay? So we gave y'all last Sunday off, so we're kind of getting in the spirit, kind of remember how to worship. So today we're going to be talking about change. 2014, something has to change. Would you guys agree that there's probably some things that happened in 2013, that some habits maybe that you formed, and in 2014, you know, everybody has New Year's resolutions, and you start thinking about, what are some things that I need to work on? What are some things that I need to change going into 2014? What I want to talk to you about today is that the things that you struggled with in 2013, I will guarantee you that the principles of those struggles are likely the things that you struggled with in 2012. And the things that you struggled with in 2012 are likely the things you struggled with in 2011. So why is it that we have these cycles of struggle, areas of our life that are areas that we repeat this cycle? Many times I believe it's because we're not able to see it. You know, we see it in other people, but we have a hard time seeing it in and of ourselves. And so today I hope that I can look at a passage that will kind of unlock a little bit of that cycle so that you can see, how did I get from here to there, and then how do we change some things in 2014? Recently, I was out fishing. There's a secret pond that I can't tell you about. Out in Prosper, where largemouth bass dwell, and I was out there fishing, and I was thinking about this sermon as I was writing it. And I thought this kind of illustrates the point that sometimes we get stuck because we are doing the wrong things. And as I was out there fishing, I was catching fish. It was a glorious day. And I mean, when you catch a 4-pounder out of a pond, that's a good day, just so if you don't know bass language. And so I hooked this one, and I thought, you know, I'm catching all these fish. I need to take a picture of one. So I'm fighting this fish, and he's jumping out of the water. And when a big fish breaks the water, I mean, it's just like heaven, okay, for a bass fisherman. He jumps out of the water, and he splashes. And then I get him up to the shoreline, but there was this grass line. And that's never a good thing when you're pond fishing, because whenever you get into that grass line, it's going to put tension on the line. And whenever you have tension on the line, that's the point that it's called horsing a fish. If you pull too hard, you can either snap the line, or if the fish swings its head, it'll swing the hook out of its mouth. And so I was getting him up to that grass line. I was thinking, please stay on, please stay on. And sure enough, as soon as I got to the grass line, I started pulling him up. He jumped, swung his head, and he landed. Hook came out of his mouth, and he landed in the grass. And so the grass is in the water, and it's like 45 degrees out, and I'm sitting there staring at this fish. Now, I want to hold him in my hands because it doesn't really count unless I put my hands on him. So I'm sitting there, and I want to take a picture and send it to my fishing buddies, and I'm sitting there looking at him. I'm like, you know what? I know one step into the water, and I got this, all right? And I'm thinking, it's worth it. It's worth it, you know? A little cold, a little wet pants. It's okay. And so I took a step in what I thought was going to be about 6 inches of water. Turns out there was about 3.5 to 4 feet of mud beneath that water, and my leg instantly sank down to right here. And then I brought the other, I'm like, committed now, right? And I bring the other one out, and I am in this $500,000 house neighborhood up to my thighs in mud in their pond. And I'm thinking, if anybody's watching me right now, they're like, what is this crazy guy doing? And so the fish is kind of like, you know, struggling in this grass, and I reach out and I can just barely touch him. I'm like, please, please. And when I caressed him, he flipped back into the deeper part of the water and swam off. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do now? And so I had to go back to my survival training, which is Bear Grylls from that Survivor show. And I had to like kind of spread out to get out of this mud. And I was thinking, please, Jesus, do not let my shoes come off. And so I waded back out of the water, and I thought, that was rather ridiculous. That was pretty dumb just to get a picture of a fish, right? And I thought, doesn't that typify us? A lot of times in our lives, we're going to see in a passage today, when we start reaching for the wrong things, we get stuck in odd situations. How many times in the Bible did people, even prominent people, godly people, get stuck whenever they reached for the wrong things? I'm going to talk about a couple of those illustrations today, and we're just going to cover two verses this morning as we walk through something has got to change. If you want 2014 to be different than 2013, if there's some areas in your life that you got stuck in because you found yourself reaching for the wrong things, then something has to change. You'd be foolish, wouldn't you, if you thought, well, I'm just going to go into 2014 and I just hope things are going to be better. If you don't change anything, then how are things going to change? Have you ever noticed that? That we kind of just hope things are going to change, but we aren't willing to do anything about it. It's kind of like wanting to lose weight without changing your eating habits. It's like wanting to get in shape without wanting to work out or run. You know, it's kind of difficult to change if you're not willing to change. And so today I hope that we can look at this cycle of what prevents us, what causes us to get stuck. Read with me in Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Two simple verses, that's all you're going to get today. A smorgasbord of two verses. Blessed is the man. And the word blessed means happy, okay? So think about this. Were you happy in 2013? Are you happy this morning? Because I'm going to tell you, it's cold outside, and I bet a lot of you weren't happy when you walked from your car to the church. You're like, oh, this is so cold. Why are we doing out here? Anyway, I don't know how you were in your marriage, if you got in any arguments this morning, but some of you walked in here, and I wasn't watching everyone, but a couple of you look like maybe the happiness meter is on the kind of the lower side this morning. I hope that I can help you with that, okay? Blessed is the man, happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on the law, or on the word, he meditates day and night. God here gives a simple dichotomy. He says, don't do these things, and then do these things, and you'll be happy. So, let's go. All right. Now, let's elaborate just a little bit. This morning, I just want you to see that whenever you can't see the cycle, you're doomed to repeat it. And you'll find in your marriage, once you've been married for like 6 months, okay? Whatever you are fighting about 6 months into your marriage, 6 years later, guess what? You're going to be fighting about those same things. Yes, you are. I'm going to tell you right now, every person in here, we know that the toilet paper, we talked about this in the first service, does it go over or does it go under?
Over.
Under anybody?
One under,
a couple of unders. Cups, do cups go down, up, down, up. Towels, does the rounded part need to face out or does it just not matter, just throw them in there? Somebody like, no! Can't just throw towels in there, they have to be neat and in order. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that people get divorced over, believe it or not. Like, some people, like, they vacuum, the lines have to match up, and you can't put footprints on the carpet. Okay, so I'll just move on before I get people divorced. But all I'm trying to say is that there are cycles that we argue about. Finances, we argue about time, and, like, you're late all the time, or you don't do this on... Whatever it may be, we tend to kind of have these cycles. And we're unable to break those cycles. And I think the reason why we can't break them is because we don't see them. We have what's called a blind spot. And so I hope today that you might look at this pattern, this cycle, and see how if there are areas of your life that you've kind of walked down this path, this cycle, and you've embraced it in areas of your life, that you might be able to see it. And seeing is the first part that will allow us to break the cycle. So the first thing I want you to notice in this verse is that whenever you go down this path that he says not to go down to, it pauses your progress, okay? I want you to notice that there's a progression in this process. Now go back. I know I said it, but go back. Watch this. He's walking, right? Like you see someone at the mall, And you see, and you're like, hey, you know, and you start walking together. And then, like, a kind of conversation gets a little bit more serious. So you stop and you start, you know, talking, you know, blah, 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 how's it going? And then, like, you know, why don't we just get a seat over here? And then you sit down. And then you've embraced the conversation, right? Think about that for a moment in regards to sin. Are there any areas of your life in 2013 that you started walking with the wrong people? And then after walking, you start talking, start having a conversation. And the next thing you know, you're sitting down in that conversation. You're sitting down in that relationship. Same way with habits. Have you ever noticed that you start walking in the wrong thing, and the next thing you know, you're kind of having a conversation with it. Well, am I going to embrace this thing or am I not? Am I going to do this thing or am I not? And in your mind, you're having a conversation with yourself about whether you should embrace this sin or not. And it's so alluring to us. And then when you embrace it, you just kind of sit down in it. I wonder if there are any habits or any negative relationships in your life that you didn't think that you would ever sit down in it. No, nobody ever in here intends to sit down in negative relationships or sit down in bad habits. But we all do it because we started walking with it, then we made friends with it, and then the next thing you know, we sat down in that relationship. When you think about the Israelites, you remember they came out of the bondage of Egypt, and then there were 12 spies that went out and 10 came back and they gave a negative report and 2 gave a positive report, but they listened to the negativity. And as a result of the negativity, they were on their way. Think about that for a moment. After 400 years, they were out. They were free. God had parted the Red Sea, and they walked across on dry ground. Incredible stuff had happened. And after they got out, the negative report came. And the negative report that they embraced wiped away all that God had done. When they embraced the negative report, they started walking in the counsel of the wicked. And then they stood there and they listened to their report. And then they sat down in their unbelief and effectively for 40 years paused their progress towards God's promise for their life. All because they started walking with the wrong opinion. You see, many of us, we have these negative people in our lives, and because we allow them to have a conversation with us, because we allow them to have a voice in our lives, oftentimes we embrace thoughts that we would have never thought before. And we sit down in those relationships, and the next thing you know, we get stuck. I want you to think about that for a moment, that whenever you're able to see the cycle, and then you see the cycle is pausing your progress, the next thing I want us to think about, your association. That's what this is really talking about, your relationship, that your association impacts your attitude, okay? Who you associate with impacts your attitude. Because whenever they start talking negative, let's just say it's a husband and a wife, and the wife is out with one of her girlfriends, and they're talking about the husband, and this other woman is really negative about her husband. And she's like, you know, he just doesn't, you know, dress. He's just sloppy, and he throws his clothes on the floor, and he doesn't. And the next thing you know, what you do is you kind of take their lens, you take their glasses, if you will, and you put them on, and you start seeing your spouse through their lens. And you're like, well, my husband doesn't do that either. Maybe he should start doing that. And next thing you know, the husband comes in and like, dude, like a nuclear bomb went off and nobody told him about it, right? He's like, where did this come from? He doesn't even know. Same thing with guys hanging out with other guys and they're talking about their wives. And the next thing you know, you take their glasses off, you put on their lenses, and now you see it through the wrong lens. Whenever you start walking with the wicked, instead of focusing on the word, you're going to get off into places where you get stuck. I mean, when you think about David, for instance, David was a godly man. I mean, the God, man after God's own heart, he was incredible, the best king that ever lived. And yet, when he looked upon Bathsheba, it was like that fish that was just out of his reach. And as a result of his reaching for the wrong thing, he got stuck. I mean, David got stuck. He was in a mess. I mean, not only did he commit adultery with one of his soldier's wives who was out laying his life on the line for himself. Then he tried to cover it up and just made it worse, and then committed capital murder as a result of getting stuck reaching for the wrong things. Have you ever been in a situation, maybe last year, maybe in your lifetime, that you can think of that you started reaching for the wrong thing, but you never thought it would lead to where you ended up? And now you might even be stuck still to this day in something, whether it's a bad habit, whether it's a bad relationship, whatever it may be. But you can think back and you remember thinking, you know what, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't, maybe I, okay, I will. And the next thing you know, 5 years, 10 years have gone by and you're still stuck in that habit. You're still stuck with that lust addiction. You're still stuck with that drinking addiction. You're still stuck with that addiction of people's approval. Whatever it may be, somewhere along the way, you started walking with it, you made friends with it, and then you sat down in it. If you can't see that as a cycle for yourself, nothing's going to change. It's never going to get better until you can see it for what it is. So I'm glad that he gives us a dichotomy. The Word of God never leaves us in despair. He said, blessed is the man who doesn't do that, but he does do this. He meditates on the Word day and night. I want us to think about this for a moment. Something has to change. I mean, in your marriage, if there's not happiness as an umbrella around your marriage, something's got to change. I mean, if your kids are not walking in the way that you want them to go, if you're raising hellions that don't obey their parents, something has to change. If you can't take your kids out into a restaurant without World War III breaking out and salt shakers flying through the air and waiters and waitresses like, oh, I hate this family. I wish they would never come in again. Then something has to change. I just want you to think about what you're doing, where you're going. If you hate your job and you despise it every week and all you do is talk negative about your income that God has provided for you, then something has to change. It's not just going to change. You have to be proactive in changing it, okay? So God desires to bring people out. But in order to bring them out, something has to change. And not only does he want to bring them out, he wants to bring them in. In order to bring them in, the generation had to die in the wilderness, and then the heart of the next generation had to change, or they were going to blow it as well. Now I want to ask you a question. Did God bring you out of some things in 2013 only for you to, in the middle, at halftime, get distracted by the wrong things? And he delivered you out of some stuff, but he never got to deliver you in to where he intended for you to go because you got distracted reaching for the wrong things and chasing after the things of this world. Oh, this morning, I would love for every family to get unstuck from reaching for the wrong things. He said, blessed, happy is the man who meditates on the Word day and night. You see, there's a transfer that transforms. And the transfer that transforms is when you transfer your focus. See, the focus of the person who pauses their progress is on being in wrong relationships and embracing wrong things. Whenever you embrace those wrong things, the pause button is hit. And God will allow you to wander in the wilderness all your life until you decide you're going to focus on his Word instead of the counsel of the wicked. You have to transfer your focus from chasing after the things of this world to chasing after the things of God. Not only do you have to transfer your focus, you have to transfer your faith. The Bible says, do not lean on your own understanding. He says, the Word is like a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. He says, it's not those who walk by sight, it's but those that walk by faith that are able to enter into the promises of God. So many of you got stuck, okay? And then you start trying to figure your way out. When I was stuck out there in the water, it was embarrassing. I was just praying, please don't let anybody see me out here looking like an idiot. And that's what most of us start doing. We get in over our heads financially. We get in over our heads in our relationships with others, and they start drawing us to the wrong things. And we're kind of embarrassed, and we don't want anybody to know, so we don't share it with anyone, but we're stuck. And sometimes it even gets to the point that we're drowning, and we're unwilling to share it with anybody. And at the end of the day, our lives are being sucked down into this vacuum because we've tied our destiny to people that are drowning. We've believed the negative reports. We've believed the false reports that lacked faith. And as a result, we try to figure it out ourselves, and we're self-reliant. And God has said that there are some issues that are bigger than you. There are some issues that require faith not in your strength, faith not in your finances, faith not in your ability to, by your ingenuity, to get yourself out like you've done so many times. I'm telling you, you'll get to a place of stuck that you can't get yourself out of. How could David fix murder and adultery? You can't go anywhere to get rid of that guilt except to God. He came to God in Psalm 51. He said, God, create in me a clean heart, O God. Against you and you alone have I sinned. And he found that God's mercy is renewed day by day. Oh man, if you're stuck in something this morning, I'm telling you, run to the God whose love and mercy endures forever. Would you guys stand with us as we have a time of reflection? And let's commit 2014. 2014, God, we are going to see the cycle. We are going to break the cycle by not walking in the ways of the wicked, but focusing on the Word. If you can make any commitment in 2014, let it be this. Get in your Bible. Commit your time to the treasure of the Word of God. Make it a habit to discuss it with your wife at night when you're laying down and you're having pillow talk at night. Maybe just discuss what God is leading you in, what you're struggling with, what God's Word says about the struggle of your family. When your children are going through things, maybe you can tell them, let's see what God's Word says about that. Impart wisdom from the Word, and maybe, just maybe, 2014, you could turn it around. Sound good to you guys? Let's sing.